Acts chapter 16, we're continuing our study of the early church in the book of Acts and the expansion of the church. Acts chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 16. It's a very familiar story that I know you have probably been aware of since you were very young, but it's still a very relevant story, and it's a topic of spiritual warfare. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. It says this, "It happened, as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out saying, 'These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or observe as Romans.' And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house, set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, open our minds and our hearts to your word and to the leading of your Spirit. I pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Everything, every crisis, every challenge, everything that would test us is a spiritual battle. And I say that because I don't think people take that seriously. When we talk about spiritual battles, it's no, you don't understand. We're fighting an enemy. If you're dealing with health issues, you're not dealing with health issues. It's a spiritual battle. If you're dealing with marriage issues, it's not a marriage issue. It's a spiritual battle. If you're dealing with child problems, how many are dealing with child problems? Say amen. It's a spiritual battle. Everything that we face that challenges us day in and day out is a spiritual battle. And if you are a believer, your enemy is Satan. He is a liar. He is a cheat. And his goal is to rob you of your faith. It's to take your joy. It is to, no better way to put it, to make you suffer because of your faith. He would like nothing better than to beat you down so to the point that you will lose hope, so that you'll quit serving, so that you'll drop out of church, so you'll give up on your marriage, so you'll give up on your kids, so you'll just give up. And my challenge to you today is, hey, we're winners. Okay? We're not winners because of us. We're winners because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at Paul and Silas, and who would not allow Satan to have that victory. And I want to challenge you the same thing. But we're going to start with the spiritual battle. As we read in the text, Paul and his company, last week, we found them going to the riverside where they met a lady named Lydia. Lydia and her whole household were saved, and they were actually worshiping there at the riverside because there was no synagogue there in Philippi where they are. And so this week, he's found success at the riverside, and so he continues to go back there. And somewhere in this process, as he's going back and forth to the riverside, to witness of Jesus Christ, there is a slave girl that attaches herself to Paul and his company. And it says she has a spirit of divination. Now, the spirit of divination is actually, it literally says the spirit of Python. In Greek mythology, the python was a mythological snake. You'd never guessed it was a snake, right? But it was a mythological snake that guarded the temple of Apollo, who was the chief god, right? And so people who could foretell the future were considered, or it was said of them that they had the spirit of the python. And what this girl would do, she followed Paul and Silas around, crying out, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are claiming to you the way to salvation." Now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds real good, right? It's good. Let her proclaim that. Well, there's a problem. The problem was she was demon-possessed, and the demon was the one doing the proclaiming. In the ministry, personal ministry of Jesus Christ, every time he faced a demon who identified him as the Son of God, do you know what Jesus did? He rebuked that demon and made him be silent. And the reason is because the demons can't be a part of Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" We use that for marriage, but the idea is all of life. You cannot be bound together with an unbeliever. You cannot be bound together with someone who would oppose Jesus Christ. But the big reason, the big problem here, is that, she went around saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who tell the way of salvation." But do you notice anything that's missing? She doesn't say who the Most High God is. See, she's a demon-possessed lady. And when she says Most High God, Philippi was a very religious place. But the problem with their religion is they were steeped in false religion, right? So when they heard her cry, These are bondservants of the Most High God, their natural thought would have been that she was speaking of Zeus, who was the chief of all the mythological Greek gods, right? So what she's doing, she's not promoting Jesus Christ. She's not promoting the true God. She's promoting Zeus, the god of the Greeks. She's not helping. She's turning people away from God. And here's the point that I want you to stop and consider what this is. It's very easy to see this is indeed a spiritual battle for the souls of Philippi. There's a war going on. And that war has been going on since the Garden of Eden, and it's still going on today. But we must understand who we are and why we're fighting. Actually, some of us need to get in the war, to be quite honest with you. You know? And the first thing I want you to understand is who are we fighting? Do you feel like life is a battle? Amen. Okay. Who are you fighting? Well, the answer there is Satan. Ephesians 6:12, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Here's what most people do not understand. Even Christians do not understand. We're not fighting people. We are not fighting homosexuals. I'm going to let that sink in just a moment, okay? We're not fighting homosexuals. We're not fighting the pedophiles. We're not fighting the transgender people. It's not the enemy. We're not fighting the drug lords. We're not fighting crooked politicians. If you're having marriage issues, you're not even fighting your wife or your spouse. If you're having children problems, you're not fighting your child. I want to challenge you today to look beyond the behavior to the source. Okay? What's the source of the behavior? It's Satan. We're fighting the father of lies. We're fighting the one that has led all these people that I've just identified, that have led them down the path of destruction, and they think they're okay. But they have believed a lie. So, number one, I want you to understand who the enemy is. Your enemy is Satan. It is a spiritual battle. Second thing, I want you to understand what you're fighting for. You're fighting for the souls of men. Okay? You're not here today to be part of or if you're here today, and you're part of an immoral lifestyle, whatever that lifestyle is, make no mistake, this preacher, I do not dislike you. Does that make sense? Okay. Victory Missionary Baptist Church does not dislike you as an individual. We are concerned for you. What we dislike is Satan that has led you down this path that's going to lead you to destruction. And as a matter of fact, we care. And if you're here today and you're part of that immoral lifestyle, our goal is to deliver you, is to give you the truth. We don't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. Amen? We want to snatch you and give you a joy that's only found in Jesus Christ. And for some reason, and we can do the psychological evaluation or whatever it is, you know, but in the world today, sinners think Christians hate them. Not true. Or it should not be true. Amen? It's not even our fight. Our fight's the devil that's led them down this path. That's who we're here to fight. That's who we're here to oppose. Listen, if you're saved, it's not just lost people. If you're saved, my goal is that you have the joy that is found only in Jesus Christ. Joy that no matter your situation, that joy is always present. Joy that no matter how bleak the circumstances look, you know you're going to win in the future. A joy that you can take with you. No matter what. You see, we have to understand, we're not here just to come to church on Sunday. We're not here just to have Bible study so we know what the Bible says. Listen, we're here to preach repentance and forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. We're here to make a difference. And we will never make a difference as long as we think our mission is just coming to church. It's bigger. The souls of mankind are at stake. Your children are at stake. Your grandchildren are at stake. The spiritual battle is raging. Take up the armor of God and let's get into war, okay? That's the point. There's a battle. Second thing we see is satanic attack in the life of Paul and Silas. It says, Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and commanded the demon spirit to come out of the girl. Now you can imagine, it would have been annoying, this girl following them around and shouting and got on Paul's nerves, right? He commanded the demon to come out of the girl, and immediately the demon come out. Wonderful. Wouldn't that be great news? Wouldn't that be Paul delivers this young lady from demonic possession. This would be a time to rejoice. But being free of that demon meant that that young lady could no longer foretell the future. And if she could no longer foretell the future, she could no longer bring her master's profit. And if she could no longer bring her master's profit, they're not happy, right? So what do? It says they seized Paul and Silas and literally drug them into the marketplace, which is very interesting. Here, that word drag, it literally means to drag them by the heels. So imagine this. They have cast out this demon. This girl is happy about it. She now knows, okay, I'm free. Immediately, the owners of the girl or the masters of the girl, they knock them down and they grab them literally by the heels of the feet and drag them through the streets to the marketplace, which was the city center, kind of like City Hall, right? Where the city officials would be. And when they arrive there before the magistrates, they accuse them of disturbing the city, teaching things that were unlawful for Romans to observe that were Jewish. And they tore off their robes and beat them with rods. You have to understand, this beating with rods was horrific. It actually, that beating was a bundle of rods. It was kind of more of a club than a switch. It often resulted in broken bones and internal injury. And people very often died from the beating that they get. Okay? The magistrates ripped off had their clothes torn off and ordered them to be beaten. Those magistrates were called lictors. They were the city officials appointed by the Roman government. It's where the old saying goes, getting in your licks. That's where that comes from the lictors in charge of Roman cities. And so they're beaten and they're given to the jailer. And it says they command that jailer to secure them. Now, the way that's constructed, I want you to understand, they're not saying take care of these people. They say make their life miserable. Put them in the deepest, darkest, most secure part of the prison you can possibly put these guys in. So it says he took them and he threw them into the inner prison, which was the deepest, darkest, most secure part of the prison. And then he's being given this command. It says he put their feet into stocks. And understand the stocks. When we think of stocks, we think of what we've seen on TV. That's not what they were. They were long kind of boards, but they had holes, multiple holes in that apparatus of torture, right? And what they would do is they would spread their legs as possibly far apart as they could get their legs, right? And when they had them stretched as far as they had stretched, they had put them in the most outside hole that their legs could take. And what that did was it caused cramping, leg cramps. Now, here you go. These guys are serving the Lord, right? They have cast out a demon. They've been knocked down, dragged through the streets, brought to the magistrates, given their licks with the Roman rods, right? Their backs are a bloody mess. They are bruised. They are bleeding. No doubt there are some broken spots from the blows that they have taken. They can't lay down. They can't be comfortable. And when they get to the prison, the prison guard has absolutely no sympathy for them. He throws them in the worst part of the jail, stretches their legs to the limit. Now they're sitting there. They can't lay down. Their backs are hurting. and their legs are stretched. Have you ever woke up at night with a leg cramp, or is that just an old person thing? What do you do? Ow! You wake up yelling. You can't help it. That's what they're doing in the prison. These guys are hurting. It's not a pretty sight. And at midnight. You see, you ask what's going on. And the answer to that question is Satan is pushing them to their absolute limit. He's pushing them as far as he could push them. Are you familiar with the saying, when it rains, it pours? You ever wonder why? I mean, it just seems like it does. Those times when we're pounded by life, one thing after another, after another, after another. You seem like, you think, is this ever going to end? You ever thought, what in the world is going on? What is happening to me? Why is this happening to me? And when you get in that position, I want you to understand what's happening to you, okay? As a believer, what is happening to you is Satan is trying to push you to your very limit, and his intent is to break you. He wants you to crumble. You're under spiritual attack. And he will use anything he can use. He will use family. He will use temptation. He will use illness. Nothing is off limits to you, to him. There's nothing Satan won't do to break you. But there's good news. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted." That word tempted is to be tested beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. The good news is, okay, God lets us go through these things. And yes, God allows Satan to pile it on us one after another. And yes, it's for our good. We grow and we learn to endure, and we learn to be patient and to trust God. But you have to understand this. God will only let it go so far. He will not let you be overcome. Now, sometimes we make a decision to be overcome, to be overcame. But listen, God is faithful. God is faithful. And you have to, when you're in the storm, and it's the worst of the worst, you have to know God's coming. God's coming. I don't know when He's coming. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. I don't know how much longer I've got to endure this, but God's coming. God will show up. Why? Because we're told in the Bible that He'll never leave us or forsake us, right? And you know what? The wonderful thing about these tests is it shows us what we're really made of. And we talk about loving Jesus and having faith and, you know, but it's easy to talk about. It's a whole different story to have to live it. And it shows us who we really are on the inside. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't like who I am on the inside, right? But God's coming. And there's victory in Jesus. Okay? You've got to hold on to the fact that there is victory in Jesus. Do you understand that? I mean, just that phrase needs an amen. There's victory in Jesus. Okay? There's victory in Jesus. Paul and Silas had a weapon that Satan didn't consider. He's got them backed up against the wall. I don't, you know, he's Nothing else could happen. But they have this wonderful weapon. At midnight, Paul and Silas, it says, are praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Imagine this. I find it really difficult because I've had those leg cramps before at night, right? But can you imagine you're hurting all over and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? And it's midnight. What are you going to do? Paul says, Silas, sing how great thou art. Man, these are men of faith. I love that, don't you? I would like to think I would do the same, but these are men of faith. At midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the songs of praise fill that miserable, vermin-infested pit. And you know what happened? The other prisoners listened. Everybody else is listening. They're thinking, these guys have lost their mind. They've been beaten. They've been drugged through the streets. They've been abused. Their feet are in stocks. What are they thinking? They're praying and praising God? Makes no sense. I tell you, who else heard them? The jailer heard them. You say, how do you know he heard them? Because when it really gets tough, guess who the jailer comes to? He comes to Paul and Silas and says, what must I do to be saved? Right? The jailer heard them. Most importantly, God heard them. God heard them. And God sent a great earthquake. It says that shook the foundations of that prison. And the doors of that prison were open and the chains and the shackles fell off the prisoners. And the jailer woke up. Says, oh my goodness. And he sees the doors open. And he thinks to himself, I'm a dead man. You see, you lose prisoners. That was the punishment. Death was the punishment for a guard who let prisoners escape. So immediately he takes out his sword, which is literally a dagger. It wasn't that long sword. It was a dagger. And he's about to kill himself. And Paul cries out, stop! We're all still here. We're all here. Don't hurt yourself. What would you have said? Yeah, go ahead, do it. Paul knew what he was there for. Paul was there to see this jailer saved. And the jailer comes and he takes Paul and Silas out of prison cell and he asks them, what can I do to be saved? My question is this. What made that jailer ask that question? What in the world possessed that jailer to ask that question? Amen. He saw the way that Paul and Silas had responded to the attack that Satan had launched against them. Listen, if you think how you respond to your circumstances is not important, you think again. People are watching. They may make fun of you and call you a Bible thumper and make fun of your prayers and all of that. But when they come and face that time of need, guess what? They're going to run to you, a person of faith, and say, what should I do? And you tell them. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's victory in Jesus because that jailer believed in Jesus. That's victory. Not only did the jailer believe in Jesus, but his whole house believed in Jesus. That's victory in Jesus. I wonder how many of those prisoners wound up in the church at Philippi, at Lydia's house. That's victory in Jesus. You see, Satan's plan backfired. Satan's plan, you know, Satan tried to infiltrate them and get them with that little slave girl. And they was like, no, we're not having this. So Satan says, okay, let's see just how tough you are. And he put them through the ringer. And at midnight, they're praising God and praying. Listen, you've got a choice. Okay? Probably, most likely, everybody here in this congregation this morning is fighting something. Okay? If you're not fighting something, hold on. Tomorrow's coming and you will be, right? You've got a choice. But before you make that choice, you understand this. People are watching. As a parent, your children are watching you. You talk about loving Jesus and having faith, but when it really gets tough, are they seeing that faith come out? As a church member, we talk about loving Jesus, but when it gets tough and our health is challenged, do they see our faith coming out? You see, you can choose. You can choose to become bitter. Say, God, why me? Why me, God? People are watching. You can complain and wallow in self-pity. It's not fair. I've got it so bad. This is terrible. But before you blame God, you remember this. He gave His only Son as the sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. He gave it all for you already. Don't ever sell God short as owing you more. You can give up. You can quit church. You can quit serving. You can quit praying. You can quit Bible study. You can quit. Or you can get fired up. You can get fired up. Right? And you can let people see what Jesus living through you really does look like. You can get fired up and praise the Lord knowing your God is bigger than the circumstance you face. Your God's bigger than your health issue. Your God's bigger than your marriage issue. Your God is bigger than anything you've got to deal with right now. Act like it. Pray about it. Call on the power of God and know He's coming, because your God is bigger than your problem. If He's not, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. You see, we read things in the Bible like I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Do you believe that? You can. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." Do you have peace? You've been, you know, life's falling apart. You still have peace. How can you have peace? In the world you'll have tribulation. But take courage. I've overcome the world. Listen, I promise you this. No matter what you face. No matter what you face. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got a bright future. Okay? And your future extends beyond your 70, 80, 90, whatever years on this earth. This is not as good as it gets, glory to God. Right? So in conclusion, bring it all down. Okay? God is bigger than your problem. Act like it. Okay? If you believe God is bigger than your problem, let people see that. Because He is. God is a God that is omnipotent. That's one of them seminary words. All powerful. Right? He can do anything. Act like it. When you're in need, you go to God in prayer and you cry out knowing that at His breath, He can turn things around. Is your life messed up? God can fix it. Act like it. Turn to God. Don't turn away from God. If you're not here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in trouble. You see, you have no God. Well, I guess you do. Your God is Satan. Oh, no, preacher, my God's not Satan. Listen, there's only two options. You're either a child of the king or a son of the devil. And I'm not being, that's biblical. That's Bible. And if you're not saved, if you do not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to understand this. Okay? Your eternity is hell. Literally. Where the Bible placed, the Bible describes the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. The good news is you don't have to go there. The good news is Jesus Christ paid for your sin on the cross of Calvary because the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. You've sinned. I've sinned. And we all need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. You say, Brother Doug, how can I be saved? Very easy. You call on Jesus. As Paul and Silas told that jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Are you saved today? If you are you fighting? You know, I say, I'm sure there are a lot of battles going on. You know the best place to fight from? Everybody that's listening to me, please say amen. The best place to fight from? Is on your knees. Okay? The altar's open. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, life's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Satan's looking for our destruction. He's looking to tear us down, to tear our families apart. He's looking to tear our church apart. He's looking to tear the lives of believers apart. Help us to stand firm. Help us, Lord, that we may take up the whole armor of God to get in the battle and not just fold at the first sign of difficulty. Father, I pray that we'll live a life so that others can see your power working through us and in us. That our life would be a testimony for all to see of your grace, of your mercy, and of your power. And now this invitation, Lord, we turn services over to you. And Lord, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.